Don't you just get tired of Satan trying to rob everybody? Don't you just kind of get fed up with him? I mean, you look around and you see that Satan himself is wreaking havoc in the lives of so many people. You see where Satan himself comes into the picture, so many perfect pictures, and we see where he is separating families and friends and congregations and causing all types of trouble in our world today. I stand before you today and tell you that I am tired of being robbed. I am tired of the devil himself coming into the picture and trying to take things away from us as a church family. Do you agree with that? I have to be careful because, as Jared said last night, when I titled the lesson, I'm tired of being robbed, I don't need to say I'm tired of being Rob over there. So anyway, Rob, understand that. But when we look at what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, down in verse 8, the Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walketh about like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. I hope you understand today that Satan will never cease in his practice. Do you agree with that? Satan will never stop, Teresa, trying to attack his people. And he's going to do everything he can to try to separate you and me. He's going to try to separate us from God. He's going to continue those attacks. But what we can know and what we can understand is, even in all of his attacks, you and I can still have peace. We need to remember that we today are tired of being robbed, and we're well aware of some of his tricks. We know today that Satan himself breeds havoc. We know today that he is the devil himself is the father of confusion. Would you agree with that? We know that he also creates doubt in the lives and in the minds of so many people. Not necessarily those on the outside of the fold of safety, but even those that are in the church today. He wants us to be doubtful. He wants us to have doubt in the scripture. He wants us to have doubt in the church. He wants us to have doubt in God, that, you know, God will not deliver us. But God will deliver, he has delivered, and will continue to deliver us. Does that make sense today so far? So we understand that the devil himself is the father of confusion. He wants us to doubt. We know that the devil is indeed our enemy. We know that he is a thief, isn't he? Is that the only way to call it, isn't it, Bobby? The devil himself is a thief. He will rob you of so many things in life. But one of the things that he really tries to get from us, Esther, he wants to rob us of the peace that we have as Christians, doesn't he? He wants to rob us of our strength and our peace, and we're not going to let him do that. Are you tired of it this morning? Are you tired of the way that Satan is coming after some of your own family members and coming after us? It just seems he never does stop. And you know what, folks, to be honest with you, he never will. But thank God we've got a God, we've got a creator, we've got the creator of all of the world that is on our side, because we're on his side. Amen? And he will give us what we need. I'm so thankful today for what we read in the book of James chapter 4, down around verse 7, where the Bible says, therefore, listen to me, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and what's the Bible say? And he will flee from you. Does that mean he won't come back? No, he's going to come back, but you know what? We have a way of escape, don't we? Do you agree with that? When he is attacking us and he's trying to come into the picture, he's trying to put doubt in our minds about our marriage, about our jobs, about the church, about different things. We need to say, you know what, Satan, get out. You're not allowed here. Amen. You get out of my house. You get out of my mind. You stay out of my marriage. You stay out of my friendship. And you're not allowed here in the Lord's church. This belongs to God. Amen. It's not mine. It's not yours. It belongs to God. And we today are to be good stewards of that. And we are to protect the Lord's church, aren't we, brothers and sisters? So he is a thief. Don't let him get in. We, listen to me, we do not have to be walking targets for Satan. And I'm afraid that many people have become a walking target for Satan and may not even be aware of their own manner of life. I think perhaps that some people have put themselves in situations to where that just makes them a victim of the devil himself. Maybe they didn't mean to. Maybe they're not aware of their own manner of life. But because of the things they're doing, the sins they're committing, or the sins of omission, they're allowing Satan to be their ruler. They're allowing Satan to take over. Let's go over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you don't mind. Let me give you something over here. I believe this will be a little bit encouraging to you when Paul was telling the church at Corinth this. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, down in verse 13, the scripture says, no temptation has overtaken you, watch this, except such as common to man. Give me the next four words, please. All right, give me the three. God is what? Faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, nowhere in that passage of Scripture does it say that when you're tempted, God's going to deliver you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that when you are tempted, the devil's on top of you and he's trying to beat you down. Nowhere in that passage does the Bible say God's got you covered. He doesn't. God gives you a way of escape. Amen. He gives me the way of escape. We've got to call upon the Father. Amen. We've got to call upon Him for deliverance. We've got to call upon Him in prayer. We've got to let Him know that, you know, our dependency, God, is on you, not on ourselves. We have that prophet, that great prophet Jeremiah down in 10:23 tells us it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Says, you know as well as I do, every time that you and I get together and we try to direct our own steps, we fall. Teresa, you're in with us, aren't you? So any time, Heather, that we try to do that, we're in trouble. Does that make sense? So we can't direct our own steps, can we? So let's head over to the book of John. Let me show you something else. In the book of John, let's go to chapter 14, verse 27. In John 14, 27, I'm convinced, when we get ready to read this, I am convinced by the word of God and His precious promise that is in Christ, that in God we do and can and do and can and do have peace. Do you believe that? So watch what the Bible says in John 14, go to 27. Now here's Jesus speaking with His disciples, and listen, are we disciples today? Absolutely. Disciple means follower, believer, student of righteousness, student of His word. We are Christians, as we see in Acts 11, verse 26. The Bible says, peace I leave with you. Whose peace? My peace. Who's speaking there? Christ Jesus. Thank you, Ashley. Jesus Christ Himself is speaking. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't even let it be what? Afraid. What is the Bible saying here? Says, have the faith in me that you need to have. Have the faith in me that I've already given you. When we become a child of the Most High God and we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, the Bible says we receive the gift of the what? Holy Spirit, don't we? And when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, we are given that strength to be able to overcome. We're given the strength to be able to do what God is calling us to do. Go with me again. And 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. When I think about that passage of Scripture, and I see the promise that Jesus was making to His disciples just hours before His crucifixion, remember what happened there? Actually, they were upset, weren't they? The disciples were maybe even angry or mad, disappointed, ticked off, whatever you want to call it. You know what, Jesus, we just got pretty close, and now you're leaving us? And look at this. He says, don't worry about it. Let me paraphrase this. Don't sweat it. My peace, peace I'm leaving with you, not the way the world gives you the peace, but my peace I give you. So don't let Satan come in and rob you, amen? Don't let Satan come into our lives and rob us of the peace that Jesus Christ has given us. Does that make any sense? Is the devil a thief? Amen, he indeed is. So I hope that you and I together, I hope we know that today Jesus offers us great peace. And just the same peace that He offered His disciples on that very day. Please know that the peace that Jesus offers us is not dependent on you living in a mansion. That peace that Jesus offers us is not dependent on how much money you have in your checking account or what kind of car you drive or what kind of position you hold on your employment. That peace from God comes from our obedience and our love for Him. Amen? Our faithful obedience and our love for Jesus Christ. And it comes from His love for us. We know that God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for each and every one of us. Isn't that right? In the book of John 3:16, do it with me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I am thankful today, and I'm convinced that you are too. If not, you should be thankful for the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I want you to look with me at verses 5 and 6. I want you to know today that we can be confident that no matter what we face in life, God is with us. He is with us, He's in us, and He's for us. Amen? As long as we are in Christ and Christ is in us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, if we look at verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, let your conduct be without covetousness. That means be content with what you have. Isn't that right? Because all blessings come from who, Jerry? God, thank you. And you know what? Since, Larry, we know that all these blessings come from God, shouldn't we be acceptable to those things? Shouldn't we be tickled to death with those things? Absolutely. Watch this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself, talking about the Lord, has said, I'm never going to do what? Or what? Forsake you. So that we may boldly say, watch this. The Lord is my helper. I will not what? Fear. Look at this. What man can do to me. Does that not bring you some peace? I don't have to fear what man can do to me. Now, on the physical side of me, you know, I don't want to be shot at. I don't want somebody to hit me in the head. I don't want somebody to stab me in the back. I don't want somebody to burn me with a cigarette or a cigar. I don't want things like that to happen to me. I don't want anything to happen to my family or you. Does that make sense? But when it's all said and done, there's an inner peace that is within the Christian that people on the outside of the fold of safety, they don't have it. You know why? Because the devil's already stolen it, hasn't he? The devil is a what? Thief. And we understand that we're tired of being robbed. So in order for you and me, together to experience, seriously speaking, and to feel the peace that Christ offers, you and I must believe that God and know that God is the one in control. I think that may be a problem with many of us today in our world today is we want God to be in control, but then we try to take over, don't we? Whenever we're faced with an issue, Lord, we just ask you to deliver us. We ask you, Father, that your will be done. And God, we just ask you that this happens. And then when we're waiting on God's answer and his deliverance and his direction, then many times we go into the picture and we try to alter it, don't we? Maybe not as attack against God, but you know what? That's kind of the human side. But let me remind each and every one of us that Satan is a thief himself, and I'm tired of being robbed. Are you? I'm tired of him coming in and taking people that I love. I'm tired of him coming in and trying to attack me and the other preachers. I'm tired of attacking our congregation and the people that are about us. One day, brothers and sisters, he will stand trial. Do we get that? One day, brothers and sisters, you and I will too. And I can't wait to hear it from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Or you will hear, depart from me because I never knew you. You're going to hear one of those two statements. Don't let Satan steal your peace, brothers and sisters. Don't let him come in and rob this congregation. Don't let him rob your family. Don't let him rob you. Satan has given you every excuse under the sun today for the reasons that we should forsake the assembly. He's given you every reason under the sun for why we shouldn't study the Bible every day. He's given you every reason. You work really hard, Jerry. You work really hard, Esther. Y'all really do all these different things. You don't have time for all that right now. You know, you need to be saving up for your retirement. Are you getting this? And then before long, we look up and we find ourselves away from God. Maybe we're going through the robotics, and I've gotten in trouble for saying that before, but maybe we find ourselves doing the robotics. Why are we at church? Because I go to church. Why are we here? Because that's what I've always done. I hope and pray that that's not our attitude today. I hope and pray that our attitude is, I can't wait to get to that building because that's where the church meets. Amen? I can't wait to get to that building because that's where we come together as a group and worship Almighty God, the one that is so worthy of our praise and worthy of the worship. I hope and pray that that's what we're doing today. Don't let Satan take the importance away from what we're doing. In the book of John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in... Very good. Thank you, darling. Must worship in spirit and in truth. Brother Rob read to you a while ago the book of Romans. Go there with me again. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 together. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know what? I'm convinced that we all as Christians desire to feel the peace. Is that a fair assumption? We all desire peace. That sound about right? Four of us do. Does everybody desire peace? Okay. Just want to make sure we're together. So if not, this wasn't going to make sense to you. But if you do desire peace, this will. But there are conditions for peace, isn't it? Do you agree with that? You don't just walk up or wake up one morning and go, okay, God, here I am. I'm ready for a whole bunch of peace. Not the way it works, brothers and sisters. It ain't going to work like that, is it? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Take a look at verses 1 and 2. And Larry will be on this chapter here before long. And he'll be talking about this a little bit more. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So he's talking to who? Other believers, isn't he? Okay. He says, by the mercies of who? Come on. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's the way you better be acting. Holy and acceptable to God. This is your what kind of service? Reasonable. So what is the Lord saying to us, Teresa? You can do this. This isn't so far out of reach that you can't reach it. This is your reasonable service. This is what you should be doing. It should not even be a burden at all. You should be giving yourself completely to God. Is that about right? Well, let's not stop there. How do we get there then? You can tell me about it, but how do I get there? The answer is in the very next verse. Do not be, watch, conformed to this world. Isn't that true? Don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because who's involved in the world? Satan. Who's the father of all liars? Satan. Who's the father of all doubt? Satan. Who's the father of all confusion? Satan. And it just, the list is endless, isn't it? So, I don't want to be conformed to this world. Why? Because I know who's trying to rule the world. Watch this. But I want to be transformed. Well, how am I going to do that? By the renewing of my mind. That means I've got to stop and I've got to start thinking about some things, don't I? And I got to quit thinking on earthly, fleshly things, and I need to concentrate and think about godly things. Is that about right? All right. Now watch this. By the renewing of mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and here's the ultimate part of this passage of Scripture, and perfect, finish it, the perfect will of God. So what is that saying? It's saying submit to God, not to the devil. Is that all right? The perfect will of God, not the will of the devil. So I'm telling you, and I'm saying it to myself again, that the devil is he's a liar, he's a thief, isn't he? And I'm tired of being what? Robbed. So we're going to remember those things. So well, let's get to our lesson. Let's move right on with that. Two or three real short points. Here it is. So what is it that we need to watch? What are some things that we need to be careful about in our lives that may allow us to be, our peace be taken away? Because that's ultimately, Jerry Jr., what we're looking for, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Our first point is this. Would you agree today, congregation, that lustful thoughts will rob us and steal our peace? Lustful thoughts. Does that mean me looking upon a woman and lusting after her? Is that the only way that lust comes into the picture? Mm-mm. That's not what this is talking about. Lustful thoughts. It means I am never happy with what I have and I want more. Is that all right? It means that whatever I have that God's blessed me with, well, that's all okay, but now I want this one. And then I'm going to grab that, and then I'm going to keep lusting and coveting after those things. That, brothers and sisters, we can't do that. When we do, here's what happened. The devil himself is taking our attention off of God and putting it on materialism, isn't he? And he may be a woman that you're lusting after. It may be a woman. Look at a man that she's lusting after. The reality is, Esther, I saw that. I saw you look at him and wink. That is front row as soon as we're done. Jerry, bless your heart. You're welcome, buddy. But we do need to be careful with that, don't we? We've got to be very careful and not allow lust to steal our joy and our peace. Where do we find this at? Let's just go to the Bible for it, Bobby. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We have a passage of Scripture that brings that to light. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I what you? Thank you, Bobby. I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain. That means stay away from. Heather, that means don't even sniff it. Is that right? Leave it alone. Don't touch it. Abstain from fleshly lust, which is, finish it up. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Jared, that is extremely dangerous. Don't allow war of your soul. If there's a war going on in your soul, that means who's on one end? Who's the enemy? And who's our chief? God. And I'm on the Lord's side, amen? I want to be on God's side, and I can't be full of lust and lusting into the things of the world and still be on God's side. I'm trying to remember where this is at. Matthew chapter 6, if y'all head over there, it's not up here on the board, but Matthew 6:24, see if I'm right. I'm misquoting it, I'm sure. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll be loyal to the one and hate he'll love the one and hate the other, he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Is that about what the Bible says in Matthew 6:24? And then later today, if you go to 1 John 2:15 through 17, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is not of the Father. That is of the world, right? And if you're caught up in that, we know the Bible says the world is passing away, and the what of it? The lust of it. Is that right? So let's be careful. Don't let lust come in and steal our peace. Is that all right with everybody? Let me give you some examples real quick.
They're going to be quick. Don't panic.
David. Anybody remember him? Was he a king? That's a great big old yeah. He was a king, Darlene? All right, so we know that he was a king. Did he ever get caught in lusting? He did not. I'm talking about King David when he was on the rooftop of that place. He was drinking ginger ale. Everything was fine. And it was that woman who called him and said, David, look. That's what she did, Darlene, promise. It was not his fault. It was his fault, wasn't it? Y'all get on to me. Because David, number one, should have been out with his soldiers, shouldn't he? Should have been out and going to war, but he didn't. He was on a rooftop up there, and then looked over and saw, what's her name, Helen? Bathsheba. Very close. All right, so he looked over at Bathsheba. He saw what was going on. He called for her. She ended up with child. Isn't that right? But he didn't stop with the adultery. That's not what lust brought, was just the adultery. What else did it bring? Murder, didn't it? Didn't he conspire to her husband's death? Oh, absolutely right. And the list is endless. So let me tell you, I promise you, if you read this in the Bible, Heather, you'll see very quick, because of his lust, he lost his peace for a while, didn't he? Did he return to the Lord? That's a great big yeah. All right, what about Adam and Eve? Anybody heard of them? Remember, Adam was Jehoshaphat's first cousin, and Eve was Sarah's niece. Darlene goes, wrong. That was a great big W. Adam and Eve, very beginning of time, right? Yes, that's a yes. They lusted after what God told them, don't what? Don't touch it, don't eat it, leave it alone. They took of the forbidden fruit. Did she give it to Adam? Did he eat of it? And did he take responsibility for it? Yes, he did, Teresa. Teresa's in a horrible mood. All right, what'd he do? Who did he blame? He blamed it on her? Did he stop there? Then he blamed it on God. Said, she did it. Wait a minute, Lord, it's the woman you sent me. That you gave me, she gave to me, and I ate. Did Eve accept responsibility for what she did? No, she said, the what this evening? The serpent came in and told me to do it. They began to lust after what Satan had offered them. The same way and the same thing that people are doing today. Satan will come into the lives of so many people and offer you a couple different things. And sadly, we're dumb enough to fall for it. Amen? I know that's a bold and mean way to word it, but I'm a victim of that. I've been dumb enough to fall into his trap. I want to tell you today, that's why the lesson's coming to you today. I want to tell you that he's a thief and he will rob us. Do you understand that? So I just want to make sure that we share that together. 1 Peter 2:11 again, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. All right, so we understand Adam and Eve, they lusted and there were some problems. Anybody ever heard of a guy in the Bible named Judas Iscariot? You did? What did Judas Iscariot do? Somebody going to correct me? Thank you, Darlene. Judas Iscariot. What did he do? Did he sell Jesus, basically? For how many pieces of silver? 30? Is it 39 or 30? 30. I love it when y'all move like that. 30 pieces of silver. Did he regret it in a way? Did he take the money back and give it to them? Then they say, tried, you're right. And then they gave it back to him and said, nope, you made the deal, buddy. You lusted. You were involved in greed. You sold your friend Jesus. Now you deal with it. How did he deal with it? He went out, found a good place, and what did he do? Thank you, Bobby. He hung himself. His life ended quickly. Last week we looked at that husband and wife team. You remember Adam and Aunt Eloise? Do you remember them? We looked at Ananias and Sapphira. Good job, Harvey. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11. They lied to the Holy Spirit. What happened to them? You need to come on Wednesday nights and hear Harvey. Don't worry about me teaching or Sunday nights and Larry teaching. Just come hear Harvey. But the reality is they did drop dead. What was the cause of their death? They lied. Lust, didn't they? They lusted after something. I hope you're getting the point. Are you getting the point? So the lust robbed them of their peace. It robbed them of their life. You're point number two. This is one we've got to be careful on. I don't know you outside of the double doors. I know some of you outside of the double doors. Some of you don't know me outside of the double doors, but I think we all have to be careful with this. The second point I want us to think about that will rob us of our peace is, I'm going to use a qualifying word in front of it, negative anger. Would that be okay? Because anger is not all anger is bad. Because I get angry when somebody does God wrong. I think that's okay. I get angry when I see preachers preaching things that's not in the Scripture. I get angry when I see people try to blaspheme against Christ or the Holy Spirit. I become angry and hurt when I see people harming their own selves because you see them going blatantly against the Scripture. Are you getting the picture? All right, because those things are positive, aren't they? But what about anger where you're out to hurt somebody? What about anger when you begin to curse God? What about anger when all these other things about that start coming about? I want you to know that anger will and has robbed so many people of their peace. Peace and anger, they don't coexist, do they? You can't have peace and anger, negative anger, at the same time. I promise you, it can't work. Try this next time if you think it will. When somebody like your boss or somebody like your, I was going to say spouse, but that would not be a good way. But somebody like your boss or somebody that really, and I'm talking about not upset you, but I'm talking about ticks you off. Y'all know what tick off means? Like you're mad as a wet hen. So here's what I'm talking about. When someone ticks you off and you're friendly and you are mad, try to smile at the same time. You will feel like you have a mental disability or a physical disability. You try to smile when you're at the maddest, and it will give you the worst headache you've ever got in your life. I don't know. Try it. Heather, I'm going to make you mad real quick. But try to smile when you get mad at Jared. Try to smile at the same time. Y'all getting the picture? They don't exist. You can't do it. If you're boiling mad, you can't smile. Watch and see. It'll be hard. You might do one of those. I'll kill you. Okay. Peace and anger do not coexist. Animosity does not fit in there as well, does it? You agree with that? If I've got animosities against you and grudges against you, probably we're not going to be getting along, are we? Oh, we're going to just go eat chicken together. No, if we're ticked off at each other and mad at each other and we're carrying a grudge against each other and we've got animosity and anger and all that, we're not going to be friends. You know it and I know it. A heart of revenge, what about that? Will that take away our peace? I'll get him if it's the... Y'all are low down. I didn't even say that. Y'all did. I'll get him if it's the last thing I do. Every one of us has said that at one time or another, haven't we? I'll get him. I'll get her. It's the last thing I do. And you'll do this over my... That has never made sense to me. But okay, over our dead body. But we say it, don't we? So we've got to be careful with that. Don't let anger come in and rob us like that. In the book of Colossians, let's go over there and take a look and see what's happening. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look together at verses 6 through 10. Let's see what Paul wrote to these believers there in Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, 6 through 10. Are y'all ready? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Number 8. But now you yourselves are, watch this, are to put off all these things. And what's the first thing listed? Anger. Good job, Ashley. The very first thing, Heather, that God tells us to drop is anger. Why? Because anger is one letter short of danger, isn't it? Add the D and you're in it. Do you get it? Anger, danger. One letter short of that. So put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. Get it out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. What's he saying here? I believe Paul's talking to the Colossian people, and he's saying, you're supposed to be a new person. Is that okay to say it like that? You're supposed to be new. You're supposed to be walking in Christ. The old man's dead. Now you're a Christian, and you're still possessing these things. These things ought not be. Amen. Don't let Satan come in and rob you of that. Don't let him rob our peace. That's what he wants. I think about Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. We got to hurry. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but his prudence covers shame. Don't forget James chapter 1, I think we better look at that as well real quick. James chapter 1, 16 through 20. James 1, 16 through 20. Let's see what's happening. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, which there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, look at 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to what? Wrath. What does that word wrath mean? Anger, doesn't it? So be slow to that. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I, Jerry Ladd, need to remember that. When I look at that, for the wrath of man, Jerry Thomas Ladd Sr., your wrath, your anger, that is not a product of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is not. When you're demonstrating, when I'm demonstrating that, and I'm in that ticked off state, I need to be reminded about this passage of Scripture that, Jerry, you're acting just like the one you preach against. You're acting like the devil. That's what he wants you to do. Folks, that don't just apply to me. It applies to every one of us. Amen? So we need to be careful with that. It doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Let me give you the next point. Bitterness will rob us, won't it? There's some things in life that causes us to be bitter. And some would say, well, it's bitterness. It's not a grudge. I don't know. I don't know what defines the difference. But bitterness will rob us completely of our peace. There's a lot of bitter people in our society today because there's been a lot of people done wrong, hasn't it? There's a lot of people out there that's really done some horrible things to people, that made victims out of people. And it would be easy to be bitter, but of all the things that's happened to us, does not even come in comparison. It doesn't pale to what Jesus Christ went through, does it? So I know that things have happened to people. I know that some horrible things that has taken place, and it just makes you sick to your stomach. Some things are so bad, you don't even want to talk about it. Still doesn't even come close to what Jesus went through. If anybody has a right to be bitter, it should be Jesus Christ. Amen? But he didn't. He opened his arms up. Remember what he said after? Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He had love for us. Even in his death, remember this, even in the death of Jesus Christ, Esther, he still had peace, didn't he? Because he knew where he was going. You and I need to be sure that we try to possess that peace that Jesus tells us about. So, don't let the bitterness of life come in and get us. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, we'll talk to you about that as well. As we get ready to close our lesson, I want to give you this as part of the conclusion. Self-centeredness. Anybody ever heard of self-centeredness? Am I the only one you've ever known that was self-centered? Because it is all about me when it comes to peanut butter and cookies. Thank you, Bobby. I love that man. Self-centeredness. When Amy and them come to the house, that remote control doesn't belong to the grandkids. It doesn't belong to Amy. It doesn't belong to Jerry. It belongs to me. Paula bought and paid for that TV, which makes it mine. That didn't sound right, did it? Let's just forget that last point. But anyway, what we've got to remember, self-centeredness. Let's get to it so we can close. This ain't all about you and me. This is about Almighty God. Amen? This, don't come into the congregation. I'm afraid that's where we get into a lot of trouble. People say, well, I did not get this out of that, and I didn't get that out of that, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. Well, first of all, the reason you're sick is you've got an IMI disease. We got to get out of the IMI disease and make this about God. Amen? God is worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised. He tells us that God is the Spirit. Those who worship Him, you better do it in spirit and in truth. There's no other way to do it. If anything is outside of that, you're not worshiping God. Do you understand that? God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. You better have your heart ready. You better have your mindset, and you better be doing it according to His Word. If it's anything outside of that, you're just gathering together. That's not worship. Amen? Okay. So make sure it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 21, over in verse 4. The Bible says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked, all that, nothing more than a great big old fat sin. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Don't forget Proverbs 8:13, y'all. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, there it is, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth, the Bible says, I hate. Is that right? I hate it. So as we close, listen to me. I am convinced today that we could go on and on discussing things that can cause us to lose our peace. But let me tell you this. The devil is a thief. Amen? You remember last week we talked about sin is a what? A liar. You remember? And do not accept sin's invitation. Nobody remembered that, did you? Now one of you remembered it. Neither did I, so I had to write it right there. And so sin is a liar. Don't accept sin's invitation. Colossians 3:15, Isaiah 26:3, John 16:33. All those passages of Scripture talk to us about peace. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Be sure to read that later today because I run out of time. I'm not going to keep holding you. But, Jerry, the only way that all this is going to work is what we see over in 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much of our sin? Thank you, Jerry. How much, Ashley? All of our sin. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you as we're getting ready to leave this building, the devil is a thief. Amen? And I'm tired of being robbed. We're not going to let him rob us anymore, are we? We're going to stand up for what's right. We're going to stand up for Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not a Christian, become one. Hear His word. Believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Make sure that we come out of that water, grave of baptism, that we live faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you need the prayers of the congregation. We're here for you. We'll help you any way that we can. If you're subject to the invitation, you're welcome to come right now.